You are listening to the News Project in Studio, brought to you by GNAT TV.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of GNAT TV's in-depth series. I'm Andrew McKeever, the news director here at GNAT TV's News Project, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. It's also a pleasure to be joined here by Andrew White, who is a Spanish teacher at Long Trail School in Dorset, a graduate of Burton Academy back in 1994, and who is a recently published author. Mr. White, welcome to GNAT.
Thank you, Andrew.
Great to have you with us today. So, tell us a little bit about your book and how you came to write one. I mean, the process of writing has long been fascinating to me. Getting a book published seems like an awful large endeavor. Is it really?
No. I'm going to say in this day and age, not too much. I mean, I can't speak for other people's experiences. But with the interwebs and all of the all the new technologies that are afforded to us, it was two different things. It was writing the book, which, as you know, has its own challenges, and then getting the book published. I think in this day and age is a lot easier, at least from my experience, and it may be actually easier than it will be in the future. That's my belief, just based on some of the changes that have been happening in the last few months.
Well, we'll have to talk about that in a second. Yep. But first, tell us a little bit about the book. What's the story about?
Okay, so as far as writing process, etc., I am a cheater. I'm a cheater because A, I based it on real life, and B, I kind of used the memories of my friends. So what happened? So the book Rule of Thumb is about hitchhiking. And I am a hitchhiker. And I spent 6 or 7 years hitchhiking all the way around the world, complete circle, without paying for a plane trip or a taxi or any other sort of bus or ride. In order to do so, I had to learn how to sail. And the beginning of the trip for me was hitchhiking from Rutland, Vermont to Flores Yacht Bar on the Colon side, the Caribbean side of the Panama Canal. And I did that trip in about 10 weeks with three close friends of mine. And we did it. It's hard. You can't hitchhike with, you know, people only have so much space in the car. And when I was first, I got in my mind, I was like, I'm going to try to hitchhike all the way around, full circle. And one of my friends said, that's great. How are you going to do it? And I said, I'll go to Panama. That's where all the boats go through, right? I'll go to Panama. And I knew in the back of my mind, and this actually is in the book, but I had once hitchhiked a yacht across the English Channel at about 2 o'clock in the morning on a full moon by literally standing on the pier with my thumb. And so I knew it wasn't impossible. I didn't know if it was conceivable, but I knew it was not impossible. And so as people tried to kind of, you know, recommend or hold me back or in whatever way give me their recommendations, I was going, I'll go to Panama, I'll find someone, I'm not sure, but that's where it's going to be. And so immediately one of my friends said, well, I'll come with you. If you're going to Panama, I'll come with you. And then another one of my friends said, if you're, you know, unaware of this is like different friend circles. And so another friend said, oh, if you're going to Panama, I'll come with you. And so I kind of reflected and said, how are we going to hitchhike with three guys, three backpacks, and a guitar? Because I always have my guitar. It's too much space. And so I was speaking with a friend of mine here in Manchester, Vermont, Michael Pan, who's a musician, one night, and we were chatting. And I kind of had this, I was like, he didn't have a passport, he'd never left the country, he'd never taken an airplane. And I said, would you also want to come with us on a hitchhike to Panama? And he immediately said, no, definitely not, out of the question. And then about 2 days later, I saw his older brother here in town, and he said, "What have you put in my brother's head? You know, what's going on?" He's talking about this. And so, long story short, we go to the police complex and get a passport for him. And we create this method where we would dual hitchhike. So each day, each morning, basically we would camp together. We had two tents, four guys. We'd camp together, and then each day we'd travel separately in two pairs. And each morning we would decide what those pairs would be by drawing straws. So we'd wake up in the morning, we'd have our coffee, we'd draw straws to see who you'd be traveling with for that day. And then we had our maps out. Now this is all down Highway 1. Highway 1 is the longest highway in the world. At least it's considered to be the longest highway in the world. It goes from Homer, Alaska, down to the south end of the island of Chiloé in Chile. And that's great. It's the longest highway in the world, but it's actually missing 180 kilometers right in the middle. It's called the Darien Gap between Panama and Colombia. So I've hitchhiked. It's continues to be one of my goals to hitchhike this entire highway, but I've got a gap in the middle at the moment. But for this trip, we were going exclusively on Highway 1, which is the coastal highway on the west coast of the US, California, and down through Mexico. And so we would look at the map in the morning, and we would choose our primary destination 200 kilometers down the line, and then we would choose a secondary destination 100 kilometers further. So the idea was that we'll meet you there tonight at the south end of the beach at our primary destination. But if something goes wrong or something else happens or you have an opportunity to get a further ride, do not pass go at the second destination. This is before cell phones. And
right,
email.
Right, yeah.
So we had walkie-talkies, which unfortunately didn't work beyond about 7 miles. And we did this system and it worked very well as I said, from Routland, Vermont, all the way down to Panama. And so the story takes place over the course of about 10 weeks from Rutland to Panama. And when I said I was cheating, or I implied that I was cheating, I was actually had the opportunity to live with the same guys from the story about a year and a half later in Hawaii. And I asked them as a favor to me, this is back in cassette tapes, and I said, "Here's a cassette tape for you. Would you mind when you get a chance and you have a quiet moment, can you recount to me your memories of that story?" And so I had each of the three other main characters in the book just kind of explain their perspective of what that trip kind of looked like for them. And then for the actual book, I interspliced all of everyone's perspectives. So it's probably about, the book is about 60% written by me, and then the other 40% is kind of flashpoints. And it's I enjoyed it so much, and I continue to enjoy it because it's not just, you know, a lot of travel stories, I did this and I went here and it was so great and I was great. This one has that conflict of like, oh, he shouldn't have done this. Like, I can't believe we stayed an extra night at such and such. And you have that back and forth of the different perspectives.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess write what you know, right?
That's right.
The key. So, okay, so how long did it take you to pull that all together then? Was that a year or more, or is there...
I think I based it somewhat on some of the kind of journal writing that I was doing at the time. I used to keep track of my rides just in a ride log. You would give, like, for hitchhiking, you might only get one ride in a day. You might get five rides in a day. The maximum would be about 12 rides. You can't really get more than 12 rides in a day. And I used to just keep track of them either in a log or later on with a Sharpie on the walls of my tent. And you just need a couple adjectives. Like I could, you know, Andrew, I would just, blue sweater, wearing the watch and interview, you know, and you can remember it years later with just a couple adjectives.
Right.
So I kept the list like that. And I think I did most of the writing on this in Australia. It probably took me a couple months. And then, as I said, I embellished it with all these stories from the other guys. and then didn't actually end up pulling it together until many years later, maybe 10 years later. I'm a big believer, as I think you said, like, do what you can when you can do it. Like, take advantage of your situation where you are now. You know, someone says, you know, I say, I haven't got a recording studio to do music recording right now. Okay, who cares? What can you do? Like, and I talk about this with my students as well. It's like, instead of identifying the problems and the setbacks, it's like, what could you be working on right now?
Yeah.
Right?
Right, yeah.
So for me, it took, I think the script was mostly, the story was mostly done, and then it kind of took some time in my life until I had like a lag to actually have the energy to pull it together. Okay. So that didn't take place until last year.
So walk us through the publishing part about this. I mean, okay, so you've written the book and you like it and you're ready to share it with the rest of the world. I mean, how did you go about it? Because nowadays you're not necessarily limited to just sort of like going to a traditional publishing house or getting an agent of some sort who's going to schlep it around for you until somebody, you know, thinks, wow, this is the next greatest book we're going to publish or whatever. You could do it yourself if you want to.
Well, this is one of the neatest things about the internet, and I'm not a huge technology person, but this is definitely a positive. And I would actually tie this right into music as well. I've got a song that's playing on WEQX right now called Washington. And it's available on YouTube as well. But that type of song, and to get that to the radio, only 10 or 15 years ago, you'd have to get a record deal and a contract and all this, mm-hmm. and someone to seriously record it. And this is changing, like with regard to music. I would put a shout out to like CD Baby, or there are some other avenues through which is if you have something properly recorded, which you can do on your own through, iMovie or not iMovie, GarageBand or any of these. Mm-hmm. And then you can kind of cut out the middleman and get it right onto iTunes for a pretty reasonable amount. Like it's something like 20 or 30 bucks for a song to get, and then you're getting paid and you're getting some revenue. There's not much money in music anymore outside of performance, it seems. Musicians are getting ripped off hugely by Spotify specifically. Like they'll play one of my songs and I will get credited 0.00127 cents. Like I'm not sure exactly how that actually
worked. You need a few million hits for that to be.
Yeah, exactly. To start getting a paycheck. But to cross over to books, I don't remember how CreateSpace came to my attention, but there are various ways through which you can kind of self-publish. CreateSpace, about a year ago now, is the one that I chose. And basically, the books get printed as people order them, which is great because you don't end up with like 1,000 books that don't get purchased or read. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Someone orders the book, and it's also available on Kindle for about $2. But someone orders a book and then it gets shipped out to them. And so it's great in the way that it's taken out the publisher, the middleman. Like the average Joe can really get depressed pretty easily. Mm. Now, having said that, and as I mentioned to you before the interview, I think CreateSpace has been purchased by one of the bigger companies, and I'm not sure if it's all the same right now. But CreateSpace is not the only item on the menu. I'm sure there are other avenues through which someone can still do that.
So you can fast track your way, and if you want to just get a book out into the world,
you can do it yourself.
So, and how does one go about then promoting it? I mean, okay, so you've written the book, you've got it published.
Here I am.
What do we do? We come to GNET, first of all.
GNET is my
no-brainer right there. But I'm assuming you probably need to be out there on social media banging away and getting people aware.
Andrew, I wish I could tell you that I had it all taken care of through social media. But to be honest with you, I'm not a huge social media person. I've never been on Facebook. I recently took up Instagram mostly for keeping track of friends and their travels. And I have plugged it a little bit on Instagram. This is an open question. I don't know. How does one promote a book? I know how to do music. To do music, you You get a gig, you go to the gig, you play the gig, you kill it, you sell some CDs, you go to the radio, and you remind everyone what a fun time it was, and then you do it all again. And that works out really well. But music is blaring outwards. Like, you can busk in the street. I could go to the roundabout in Manchester and busk next to our peaceful warrior, John Sanders, and people would hear me. But with books, you can't broadcast that act of reading content. So I have no idea how to promote books. And you're right that this is why I'm here, because I suppose it's just to get the word on the street.
I mean, author readings, would that be sort of one?
Maybe. I've been a little bit shy about that in a way. It's funny because with music, I've got songs that are quite controversial and whether or not they're a little bit controversial has never held me back. Because it's a song and it's music, and you know, maybe I've written songs back in high school where you pretend that you're a serial killer. I think it was after I read The Collector, and writing songs as if you were a serial killer, and you can sing the song and someone goes, whoa, that's like weird, and you're like, yeah, right, like I wrote it as if I was a murderer. I mean, wow. But with books, especially books that are based on, well, total fiction of course, but kind of based on reality, it's much more, how would you say it? You're more vulnerable. More vulnerable. And so I'm a little bit more apprehensive.
Okay.
Yeah. Music is like so clearly art.
Right.
Whereas novel writing, and this is funny because Northshire said, oh, is it a memoir or is it a novel? And I said, well, is For Whom the Bell Tolls a memoir? Like, obviously, Hemingway was there doing that stuff.
Right.
And largely it happened. I mean, I'm sure he's twisted some things, but where's that line, right? Right. Like, we're all writing, as you say, what we know.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, do you have a website or anything like that?
Website? No, I actually don't have a website. I'm most
people get
viewable
a hold of this book
on, if you Google in any shape, way, or form, Andrew White Music. And I would like to point out that my last name is spelled, to my frustration, with a Y. W-H-Y-T-E. So if you Google or YouTube search or any type of search, if you Andrew White or Andrew White Music, you're gonna get on to me. There are a couple other artists in New Zealand have the same spelling name, which is why I've added the music. But if you punch it into any sort of search menu, it will probably take you to Amazon or one of the other sites that'll be selling the book.
Okay.
And I would also encourage people to look in to my music, for which I'm very passionate, including the song that I mentioned before that EQX is playing called Washington. And we've got a song coming up very shortly. It's being produced by Dan Seiden, who I believe has some connection with you guys, has been in and out of here. And that's coming out hopefully in the next couple weeks. And that, we've still got working title on that. But it's either going to be called Betcha Gonna Runnin' or Skinny Legs. And it's going to be even more excellent.
All right. Well, Andrew, thank you for stopping by and telling us about Rule of Thumb and what led to that. And good luck with the book. Good luck with the music.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Yeah. I really appreciate you having me.
Okay.
And Rule of Thumb is available online or here locally at Northshire Bookstore.
All right. Well, thank you all for being with us today. Hope you found it interesting. And we'll see you again the next time. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening local. For more local content, visit gnat.tv.